famous Phil Henry Show on El Pacifico.
Good day to you.
I'm Margaret Craig.
That isn't funny.
Today we have Chris Norton with us, who is going to talk about an actor that he works with in the adult film industry who has been basically fired, and it's happening more and more because he's afraid of sex. He's afraid of it, and we're going to hear this very unusual story here today. We also have Elcott, the next step, Dr. Ed Elcott, who will be talking about an idea that he has that he will be taking to a television production company tomorrow. This is Hell Yeah. I'm Phil Henry.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
And I'm Margaret Gray. I'm just joking.
That was funny. That was funny before the show.
All right, Margaret. I'm General Galen Shaw. And this is the Phil Henry Show. And it is my cross to bear.
All right. A very pleasant good day to all of you. So,
now, what is this fear of sex?
I got to hear this one.
I don't know. I talked to Chris last night on the phone. He said to me that this was an actor that he's worked with, Bob Meat. Do you know this guy?
Yeah, I've heard about Bob Meat. There's been several, you know, films made, and he's made a name for himself.
Yeah, I've heard of him, too.
Bob Meat. I've never heard this name.
Well, yeah, well.
What does that mean?
Well, I've done nothing. I was going to say, are you sure? But I realize it's a bad joke with you.
Yes, it is. A very bad joke.
All right, let's not begin to cast aspersions this early.
Well, I've never heard of the guy.
Oh, really? You're in the military. I would think that the military, particularly the upper ranks, would be very well versed indeed, in the latest in filth.
You know, Margaret, just because I get off the rare cutie every now and again, and...
Oh, rare is it.
All right, so is this going to be the...
Yeah, we're going to have a battle between you two today.
What business? Why don't you keep your mouth shut?
Hey, watch out. Come on now.
Well, I can tell you.
Yeah, we're going to have a battle between the two of you. We're going to just have to back it off.
Hey, Dickman, what are you all of a sudden, a producer of the movie or something?
Wait a minute. So, Bob Meat, what?
Well, you said Bob Meat's is afraid.
Bob Meat, I know the name. I've never seen this man perform, nor would I want to. Thank you very much.
Look,
no, thank you very much.
I've never seen Bob Meat, and I don't watch the porns or any of this nonsense. But what I understand from this guy Norton, the guy is frightened of
apparently he's frightened of oral sex.
Yeah, that's it, Miss Emmy. And if you remember, we had on a guy, Bob Green, about a number of years ago, who was the Fraser Food executive.
Yeah, well, that's right. Bob Green said that most men don't like oral sex.
Who said that?
Bob Green.
Oh, is that ass that runs the... Well, Green is the ass that runs the grocery store.
Yeah, Bob Green said, he'd said something like that, and we sort of, you know, just let that one ride. And now we have Chris Norton, so he's going to be talking about this. We also have Elcott, Dr. Ed Elcott from the Elcott, whatever it is, the Redeemery, the Reversery, which is up there in Wampaw, New York. What is that?
What is a Reversery?
Bud, did you hear what he said?
Yeah, the Reversery is... a place where you go to reverse the anniversary. In other words, when you go to the reversery, you never took place.
You never took place. Now, I understand...
What does that mean, you never... Why is it these religions these days seek to make me feel bad?
Wait. Did you talk to him?
I've talked to Ed Elcott over the years, yes. And what they're going for is the reduction of the ego, the reduction of the we-go. You see, when I said we-go, that's when you relax so much, the word goes from ego to we-go. And when you reduce the we-go, you have reduced the ego. When you reduce the ego, I don't know, Phil, why you...
Well, what are we talking about here?
Boy, I want Elcott the next step.
They made Elcott the next step. Name's Elcott.
What difference does it make what his name is? I think the guy is kooky. Now, I understand he's a nice man. But these are the philosophies that make people just flip their lids.
Well, they are, after all, you know, this is all voluntary stuff. Nobody's putting a gun to anybody's head. Yeah, some people get into real kooky stuff, but it's their life. It ain't mine, man.
You very religious, Phil?
Not really, no. I was raised religious, but I'm not religious anymore.
Well, Patsy, she wants me to go to the Lutheran deal, or whether it's congregational. I don't know what the...
Well, you must know what church you go to.
Well, what about you?
I'm an atheist, thank you very much. Frank and I do not deign to... we don't go in for that ritualism. We don't go in for the shaman. Oh, yes, shaman. Oh, priest. Oh, it's ridiculous. I laugh at it. I really do.
You think it's funny, huh?
Yes, I really do think it's... I almost belched. Excuse me.
That's all right. You're entitled.
Well, thank you. There. You feel better?
No.
Anyway, thank you very much, Bud, for that, for the permission to belch.
All right, so anyway, what about religion?
What about what?
Religion.
You're talking about religion.
Oh, I think religion is very amusing. I think that it's fun to look at and to watch everyone put on their funny hats. And,
Talk about funny hat. Religion is very important, like my aunt, she goes to church.
I understand that your aunt goes to church, and I do respect, of course, your Aunt Mavis very, very much. I'm not talking about people of color. I'm not talking about the native people. I'm not talking about African Americans. I'm not talking about Hispanic Americans. Their religious interests and their religious motives are understandable, and I would never dare insult or make fun of them. However, white people and their religions, that's a different story. I find them amusing. I find them worthy people to mock and to laugh at. I saw Bill Flemingston film. You know the television producer?
Yeah.
He was going down the street the other day in front of our house, walking down the street. I said, "Where are you going, Bill?" He said, "Well, if you have to know, I'm going to church." And I went, "Ha, ha, 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 ha," and I pointed and I laughed. He said, "You never laugh at black people that go to church." I said, "I would never dare. They are misguided and they are as dumb as you are, but they are, I want to have respect for third world people, third world people." And I'd even done a song.
You see, this is the hypocrisy that I'm talking about.
No, what hypocrisy is that?
Why would you make fun of a white man who wants to bow down to the shaman, as you call it, but the people of color...
I did a song about it. It's called Third World People. It's not very long, General, so don't worry.
Well, you know, you're trying... Jesus.
That's all right, Miss Gray.
Thank you very much, Bud. What's your problem?
Well, you did a song. I just asked a question.
I did a song because I express myself more readily that way. God.
All right, well, okay, so what's the song? It's called Third World People.
Yes, and it goes like this. Well, third world people, yeah, yeah. Third world people, yeah, yeah. Third world people, yeah, yeah. They go to church. Do-do-do-do. So there's supposed to be a bass line there. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. What is your problem, General?
I'm sitting here, I'm waiting for the answer to my question, and you're doing this third world people.
What is your question, General, that we can get on with the song?
Why does she think it's all right to lift a leg and go ahead and do it all over a white man going to church, but a black guy or a Hispanic guy, they get to go, and they get all kinds of respect, and she even wrote a song about it?
Because of their experience in the dominant white man culture. Because religion means more to them. Now listen. One, two, three, and one. Third world people go to church. Third world people live like that. I have no right to say that they've got between the ears fat. I think that I...
All right, Margaret.
Well, what, Phil?
Just hold on for a minute, okay? Let's take a break.
We have to take a break. Why? So you can process how crappy my song is? Is that it? You know, Phil, I...
No, not because of that. I can see the clock inching up on us.
The clock inching up on you?
Jesus Christ, what is the clock, Henry? You sure you meant cock instead of clock? It's inching up on you.
Woo!
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, what are you talking about anyway?
What I'm talking about right now is Bob Bakian with traffic. To help our people get to work this morning. Bob, how's it look?
Hey, Bill, it's really very fine, but it's about 10. I'm still in third world people out here, and I'm looking at all the colors of the thing. There's a colored fink out there, and about to tell you, I didn't see a fink the last time I was in jail here on the Pacific Coast Highway. If you're traveling southbound the Pacific Coast Highway around Malibu, you'll be aware of that, mudslide, big mud bath, and there's a mud bath down there with a mud pie, and you can't blame the mud. And on down there to Soundtown, the Palos Verdes and Soundtown, there's a clown town down in Palos Verdes, and out there with the roller coaster, the big man out there with the big thing. This is Bob Bakian, the traffic for reminding you that you got to forget something. Me, better than point, didn't remember you forget it because you're reminded of it. Bob Bakian, traffic.
Dean Shallon here at Dean Shallon Garage. Dean Shallon Garage will refit all your cylinders. We will lower the pumps and, of course, we'll twist the pistons. At Dean Shallon Garage, we'll do it all for a low, low price of $561.32. How did I settle on that amount? One night I was playing poker. That's how much I lost. So that's how much I need. That's how much I'll always need. Gene Shellen needs it from you. Dean Gene Shellen. Is his first name Dean or Gene? If you guess correctly, you'll get a free plug job. Dean Gene Shellen. Here at Dean Gene Shellen Garage.
Without you, there's no me or the air that I feed. Sometimes the world is dark and I just
I'm can't
see.
Panic.
With these demons around all around, nobody without too negative, but I believe, yes, I believe, I said I...
Who the hell is this?
This is King Without a Crown.
King Without a Crown, huh?
Well, that's the name of the song. The name of the band is, what is that, Marciciao or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
I love the reggae, or if you want, the reggae, but I like the reggae, the reggae, the ragoon.
What is that ragoon?
That's not the ragoon.
I'm sorry?
Wait, what do you mean a ragu?
No, ragu is spaghetti sauce.
Did I say ragu? I said the ragu. The reggae.
Reggae.
Oh, all right, Phil. Thank you. Reggae. Jesus.
Hey, Margaret, you're the one sitting there singing Third World People. Yeah, man. You are way, way out there, honey.
Excuse me. The only man that calls me honey is my husband. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that, but I'm...
All right, we're trying to determine a couple of things here. We will have our friend Ed Elcott on, and then we've got Chris Norton later. What we're attempting to determine here, I don't think you've helped us with this at all, Margaret, with that Third World People song. The question as it is existing, as it is extant right now, is why is it...
Well, you know something, Phil? Why don't you speak English?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be extant.
Phil, you're trying to demonstrate an erudition that you do not have.
I what? I'm not saying that I'm the world's brightest guy. I'm just trying to use a couple of words here that may expand our view of the subject. You know, if you use a word that is unusual, you give people another way of thinking about that thing. And when you give people another way of thinking, what is he doing?
General.
I gotta get out and get some... I gotta take a leak. Oh, I'm sorry. I fell asleep.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
All right, so, Margaret?
All right, let me get back to this song, because you guys are making... Can I have my husband, please?
Well, Miss Gray.
Get my husband, please. All right, the song goes like this. 1, 2, 1, 2.
Wait, I want to ask a question. Why do you need your husband?
Because I need to tell him about what's happening in this show right now.
I don't need you checking in with Frank, Margaret.
Is this a power struggle?
No, it's not a power struggle. If it's a power struggle between me and Frank over this show, I win every time. You and me over this show, I win every time. So...
Well, what if it's a power struggle over me, between you and Frank?
That's not going to happen.
Oh, my God.
God, Miss Gray, make it sound like Phil's going
to... All right, I'm not asking you to get into some joust with Frank over my affections or attentions. I'm not dropping a handkerchief, but God, you could be nicer about it, Phil. You go... And there was drool, and there was spit, and there was a look on your face of as if you had seen something that had been pulled up from the bottom of the ocean with 8 legs. Now, here it is.
All right, did you feel better?
Yes, very much. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Well, I'm not done yet.
All right, it's just good.
No. 1, 2, and 1, 2, 3. Oh, fuck it. Third world people, you bet. Third world people, that's a bet. Third world people go to church. Who am I to say they can't? Now, when the white man goes to church.
Yeah, man.
And he...
All right, Margaret, would you knock it off with the whole...
Look, I don't see anybody around here that can sing. And I mean the lower male parts.
You want me to do it?
No, I don't want you to do it. Now I've got to start over again.
Jesus H. Henry, would you just let her...
All right, go ahead.
Third world people, you bet. Third world people, that's a bet. Third world people go to church. Who am I to tell them they can't? Now, when a white man goes to church, the whole thing's a big bore. But when the black people go to church, friend, they sing, they shout, they roar. Third world people.
That was great, was great.
Thank you. See what I'm saying? So it's more fun when people of color go to church.
Uh-huh.
Forget it.
Phil, you don't respect that, huh?
No, I don't respect it. No, I don't. So it's more fun when black folks go to church. I could give a shit personally, all right?
Well, you and me, brother. You and me.
Okay. But the fact is, what you just said doesn't... Ed Elcott's going to join us here. Ed is in... he's in Wampaw, New York. He does a series of... Well, I guess what's called missionary work. He does some outreach and discussion with people. And he's at the Wampa Bowl there today. Ed, how are you?
Hey, hello, young man. Ed Elcott here.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful, Phil, and thank you for asking me on your program.
And Ed, you're at the Wampa Bowling Alley, right?
Yes, we have come to Wampa Bowl at least twice a month, and I do outreach lectures, and I'll go from table to table, I'll go from alley to alley, and ask people if they've considered Elcott, if they've considered Elcott the next step, if they've considered Elcott the primary step or the beginning step, if they've considered any kind of change of lifestyle, do they feel good? Do they feel right? If it's a Saturday night, I will generally say, do you feel good, feel right, it's Saturday night? And they'll give me that that quizzical look that that I look for. I look for what we call, for want of a better term, Phil, the huh? When we see that, then we realize that we've got someone that we can work with. Feeling good, feeling right, it's Saturday night, and they'll go, what? And I'll say, you are exactly, you are the raw material that I want to get my hands on, that I want to work with, need, shape, and eventually turn into a man or something approaching a man. And that's what Wampa the Next Step is. Or excuse me, Elcott, I said Wampa the Next Step. Elcott the Next Step. Well, now here come the overlords. I'm sorry, overlords.
Yeah!
Okay, now that is what I keep hearing, and that is what I have a little bit of a problem with.
Hey, Ed. Hey, Elcott, did those overlords just shock you or something?
Hold on. Thank you, overlords. Thank you for doing that to me. That is a probe. It's the public probe that happens when we're here in the bowling alley, and the overlords feel I have misstepped, as I just did when I said it was called Wampa the Next Step, and I am permitted to say that to articulate to you what my mistake was. Then they can publicly sear me or skewer me, and it is generally done with a catheter, and you can well imagine where that goes.
Holy Christ, you're nuts. A catheter where they would usually put a catheter.
Yes, and they put it in forcefully and without any awareness or concern for my own health or my own threshold of pain.
Why do you put up with that? I am absolutely appalled.
And I'm sorry to have to ask you this, Dr. L. Do you mean in the butt is where they put it?
No, Dickman. They don't place a catheter in that area. They put it in the other area.
Oh!
All right, bud, take it easy.
Jesus Christ, Dickman.
Oh!
What is wrong with you?
Let me find out what the hell's wrong with you.
He's screwing around, man.
That's what I thought. Cut it out, bud.
I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, bud, you can say you're kidding, but it is very painful.
No, I know that, but the first time you said it, I did mean it. I did go, and then I realized that everybody was paying attention, so I...
Oh, you thought you'd turn it into some kind of a comedy, a comedy performance, is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right, bud, well, you know what I tell you, your sense of humor and your need to display that is a good thing, as long as it does not overinflate your ego. If you can become Bud Dickman, the funny man, who doesn't care if anyone knows your name, you are moving toward Elcott, the next step. In other words, you're ready to take that next step to become an initiate novitiate and eventually climb up the ladder to a jar of strawberry preserves.
I know, I've talked about that a lot with a lot of people, and I've often many times have said I would like to do it, but just, I don't know.
Well, I think you'll be good at it.
All right, we're talking here with Dr. Ed Elcott. He is at present at the Wampa Bowl, and now we do want to talk with you, Dr. Elcott, about the meeting that you have in New York City tomorrow, and that is with a production company, I understand it. But before we get into that, I do want to ask you about what's happening there at Wampa Bowl. And before we get into Wampa Bowl and what's happening there, I do have to take a break. Can you hang on with us?
Yes, I can, Phil. I'd be more than happy to. I'm actually just passing out literature and brochures here about Elcott the Next Step. And I have with me, Phil, if I could, Sappy Brewer, who has owned Wampa Bowl for the last 3 years, works here at the counter. Sappy, how are you doing?
I'm very good, Ed, and see you back here again, huh?
Well, yes, I am.
Ed's always here. He's always welcome.
And, Sappy, how many people do you have in here tonight?
Well, tonight's league night. So we probably have teams upwards of 7-8-man team type 2. That's 7-18, 14 times 10, lane 20. That's 140.2. That's about 280
people. 280
people
that I can go lane to lane, group to group, and pass out our literature and talk to them about Elcott, the next step.
Well, we are aware that you do that, and I think you're a nice man, Ed. I don't want to tell you no, but there have been people who've asked if you wouldn't interrupt them on at bowling.
Well, no, I don't do that.
I know, but when they start the move toward the pin, that's when you can't say anything. And the last time you went over to that man.
Okay, I'm learning, Phil, what you call the protocol here.
Yeah, it's courtesy.
Yes, the courtesies. When someone begins their move toward to bowl the ball, you shouldn't do it. And what I did is I walked up to a guy who was right in the middle of his bowling the ball, and I went, can I give you some literature? And, well, he cussed me up one side and down the next.
Yeah, well, you don't want to do that, Ed. You got to let them, you bowl.
Well, I know that now. You're absolutely right.
All right. And, Sappy, nice talking to you.
Very good talking to you. No, Ed, Mr. Belcott, I always like him. He's a good man. Good man.
Thank you very much, Sappy. You're a great guy, too. Okay. The overlords are over here having drinks, and they're looking at me, and they're waiting for me to prove my worth here at Wampa Lanes. I've been coming here for the last year, and I'm telling you, I want to crack this place. I want to get someone. Sappy, how about it? How about this weekend?
No, I don't die to the crackpot stuff.
How about just this weekend? Come and listen to one of my lectures and become Elcott, the next step.
No, that's crackpot. The very crackpot stuff, Ed. I respect you. I think you're great. But the whole, your religion's real crackpot.
You, sir, what do you mean by crackpot?
I mean by crackpot. What do you mean? You're walking around here. You're passing out. You're talking about a guy becoming a jar of preservatives. You're talking about novitiate, initiate. You just got this guy put a catheter up your wiener. Excuse my language.
For God's sake, Phil.
I tell you what. Let's take a break.
Well, he did.
Well, he's right. He's speaking the truth. But why won't you come to one of our lectures, and you can learn that you do not need to be catheterized. You do not need to be leveled by the overlords. You can move and groove up through the various levels of enlightenment until finally you are an overlord and you have become projectile. That is, you are something that has been fired directly out of the reproductive area of the overlord, and you're on your way to outer space, the outer space of inner space.
That's the kind of thing you talk about. I want to be expelled from an overlord. That is not only something I don't want to do, but it doesn't sound good. It doesn't sound good.
What doesn't sound good about it?
Well, come on, will you, Ed? I mean, you're talking about getting fired out of a guy's dick. That's what you're talking about.
I feel sorry for you, General, for saying that.
Well, you may feel sorry for me, but you're saying why you can become something that gets pissed out of an overlord. That's what you're saying.
Yes, I am, but no, I'm not. Yes, I am, but no, I'm not. And that is one of the higher lessons, I think, of Elcott, the next step. And you know something? There's an old saying, I know I am, but what are you? Well, Elcott, the next step, has taken that and used that as one of our major commandments.
See, no one knows what you're talking about. I know I am, but so are you. And then what's the other one?
Yeah, I am, but I'm not.
I am, but I'm not. You are not making any sense, and I don't blame you. I blame those dick suckers that you call the overlords. And
I have to go now. I have to go now.
Why did you do that?
I'm getting sick and tired of this guy. He is a nice man. He's getting run all over the place by those overlords. I'll go down there and kick all of their asses. How does that feel?
Well, you'd have to get into a plane and fly to Wampa.
And you don't have that in petty cash, huh?
No, I'm not about to buy you a plane ticket so you can fly to New York State and kick someone's ass. No, isn't going to happen.
That thing, that'd be pretty cool. They're to level him. Yeah, you talk about leveling, man. General ought to level him.
Yeah, well, yeah, there you go, right there. You know, every now and again, these two knuckleheads come up with something beautiful. And there it is right there. If anybody needs a leveling, it's those putt... Oh, boy, did they... Those guys paddle putt, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, this has turned into what I thought it would turn into, a juvenile expose of each other's this and that, manhood, and something about penises, I don't know what. Let me say this, if I may. I wrote a perfectly good song called Third World People. Now, don't say it.
Margaret.
No, don't say it. A perfectly lovely song about third world, showing you the difference between the church experiences of the white race and those people who are of the third world, whether they be Hispanic, whether they be African-American, whether they be... And you ask me, what's the difference? The difference is, I believe, that people of color celebrate the church experience, whereas those who are European-American, it becomes a dull, a stale, and a very, I think, a paralyzing experience. I'm Margaret Gray.
Thank you.
Why did you say thank you?
I mean, thank you to you.
Yes, that's how it goes.
Okay, great.
All right, Phil.
I got to take a break, okay? We're going to get back to Dr. Elcott. We also have Chris Norton coming on here to talk about Bob Meat. He has quit the porn business. I don't know who he is. That's fine. That's groovy. But and you may. I don't know who Bob Meat is, but I'll tell you this right now. If he's big time, he gets talked about on our show.
What a child.
Well, I don't know. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com.
To the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Mr. Henry, be right back.
I'm tingling right from my head to my toes.
Tingle pants are here, and if you need new briefs, underwear that can stimulate, Tingle pants are where it's at. For years, doctors have studied the whole idea of numbness, especially if you're riding a 10-speed, especially if you're sitting for any great length of time. You can't feel anything down there. Those of you who are overweight, those of you who have bad circulation, and do not, under any circumstances, exercise or get blood flowing, you'll want, I've said blood blowing, excuse me, oh, we're not on tape, this is live, you'll want Tingle pants. Here's the inventor, Dr. Herm Jackson.
Tingle pants were something that I felt I needed to make, I needed to create. These are underwears and pants, small jocks, tiny little G-strings, anything that you use to cover up down there, and they almost reach out and massage the genitalia, the buttocks, and areas there that can get blood flowing like you've never seen before. Have you gone numb? Can you barely feel it? Do you get off a bike and go, am I even a man? Because I can't feel what's... Ah, there it is. Then you have to literally reach down into your pants and feel that thing. And then you've got coworkers going, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? Why is he exposing us to him shoving a hand down there? Well, with Tingle pants, fear no more. Because the blood keeps flowing and it keeps circulating. And the next thing you know, you're feeling good. You're feeling so good, you have to go into the bathroom and masturbate. And that's wrong. That's wrong. And we have a brochure that will tell you why you shouldn't do that. Yes, it's a shoot. Tingle pants, available at CVS.
Hi, you know, this is a... I like this song here. This is a song I know, you know? Instead of that hop hip and everything like that.
Yeah, why are you playing this?
I mean, why am I playing it?
Yeah, usually you play hop hip and stuff.
Why don't you guys get educated, okay? I'm playing it because I play all kinds of music on this here show. Your bullshit. All right, so where are we? Okay, yeah, here we are with, we're here with Dr. Ed Elcott. Dr. Elcott is there in Wampa, New York. We have him live on the phone from the Wampa Bowl in Wampa, New York. All right, so Ed, tomorrow you're going to New York. Is that it?
I am, Phil. I'm going to be going to New York, and I'll be going there with Clarence Howdy, who's one of our preservatives and one of our elevated priesterlies in Elcott South, and that is Jack Fernil. We were going to have Gloria Grover with us, but I guess she's still back in California. I understand you have her on the phone.
Yeah, got her on the phone right now.
Gloria, hi.
Hello, Phil. It's Gloria Grover. I wanted to say hello to Ed Elcott. Ed, and wonderful to talk with you, and the best of luck tomorrow there in New York at the production house. I hope it goes well.
Well, thank you, Gloria, and I wish you were with me. I so miss you, and that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, you know what? My heart touches your heart. My lips on your heart.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, you can say, oh, Jesus, all you want, Margaret. But there is a wonderful, warm feeling.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to sound the way it did. It just sounded very... It sounded a bit gross.
It was a woman throwing a kiss to a man. What's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with it. I just... She went... Forget it.
All right. Well, she's a very meaningful person to me.
All right. And we're glad that she had that moment with you. So what's going on in New York?
Well, Phil, tomorrow we'll be traveling south to New York, and we'll go into the offices of Paranin. Now, that's a man who was an Elcott, he was an Elcott level 4 and a priesterly.
What is his name?
Paranin.
Yeah, his name is Paranin. He only has the single name.
He was elevated to a priesterly, and he runs a production company in New York City, a television production company. And Paranin feels that the Elcott experience should very much be shown to the American people by way of television. And with any good luck, we will hopefully will be able to produce at least a television pilot, is what it's called. I think you're familiar with this, Phil?
Yeah, the pilot is what they will show television stations and see if anybody's interested in carrying it.
Well, we certainly do hope and pray that we can get our message out there by way of TV. And I will be on television once a week. It would be a weekly show, and I'm excited about having my image and my message coming into millions of American homes. And Paranin tells me that I can be a household name, maybe even a television star. I'm not interested in that from the ego point of view, but it is exciting. Well, here come the overlords. Hold on. Pretend like I wasn't talking about it. Yes, overlords? No. I was telling Phil about the TV show, but my ego did not enter into it at all. No, it did not. I was simply saying, all hail Elcott, and I want all for Elcott, nothing for me. All right, they walked away. Thank God. Jesus.
You're not supposed to be talking about your ego, right?
Yeah, you're not supposed to be saying anything about the ego there, Ed. Otherwise, they're going to probably want to level you again.
Oh, don't worry about that. That won't happen. Unless, of course, Gloria calls in, which somehow, all of a sudden, I just thought of that.
Is that Gloria calling?
Yeah, she said she did have to contact... Hey, Gloria, don't do that, because they're going to level him. Yeah, she says you need it.
Who was that again?
It was Gloria Grover. She called, made contact with the overlords.
What a cunt.
What did you say?
Overlords, I didn't mean to... Yeah! Shit! God damn it, Gloria. Why the fuck? I got a catheter jammed up by wiener because you can't keep your whore mouth shut.
Get right here.
And I'm sorry, and I'm dumbly sorry that you have to call me that.
Why did you have to say that? No. Oh.
Jesus, you know what? I agree with him, Gloria. Why'd you open your big fat mouth?
I wish one day, General, you would become Elcott the next step. And I could have the overlords deal the same way with you.
Well, it ain't gonna happen, sister. Okay? I'm not that clueless.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed.
Why did you do it? God damn it, woman.
Oh, it hurts. It doesn't hurt that bad. Now you're just putting it on for the audience.
Well, that is true. It doesn't hurt that bad.
Does it hurt or doesn't it?
It doesn't hurt that bad. I'm not gonna flip my lid over it, okay? It'll take a hell of a lot more than a leveling and a catheter up the you-know-what for these guys, these overlords, who sit around drinking beer, talking NC2A football like they own... I'm only kidding, overlords. Yay! Fuck!
I told you, Ed.
You didn't tell me anything, you...
Okay, I had to disconnect that because that's getting ugly, you know.
Yeah, but they dead, Dr. Ed Elcott. Elcott, the next step.
What about Elcott, the next step? The guy's there ripping her an ass, getting catheterized by the overlords in the middle of a bowling alley. I've never heard of anything more inhumane in my life.
I've got to agree with that, Phil. That is beyond words. And then I heard Dr. Elcott calling her every name in the book. I think, is that him?
Hey, are we back on, Phil?
Yes, we are, Ed.
Hey, Gloria, you're a two-bit streetwalker. You're a bull.
Well, those two were doing good until...
Yeah, hey, Ed, you're not selling the religion all that good, calling the woman of your dreams a two-bit streetwalker. Well,
I don't want him back on the air, okay? It's bumming me out.
Well, then the whole thing sounds kind of bitchin', don't you think?
No, we don't think it sounds kind of bitchin'. I'm feeling very, very poorly for her and him. And if the overlords are dishing out the leveling, they must know what they're doing.
Is that right? And you're the woman that doesn't believe in religion.
I don't believe in religion, but I'm not going to interfere in a man's religion. I think it's all ridiculous, but who am I?
Well, you know what? You ought to stand up and say something. As an atheist, you should be standing for...
What are you doing with your hands? You look like you got a catheter up the ween.
Listen to this jackass.
I'm a jackass.
Yeah, a catheter up the ween? What the...
Let's go to a break, okay?
I think that's the best thing to do.
I think all of you are going to burn in your hell. In your Christian hell. That's where I think you're all going.
All right, folks. We're going to take a break here. World famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up next is Chris Norton from... Chris is going to be talking with us about this great porn star who has decided to leave the business because he's frightened. He's scared to death. And he is scared to death of oral sex. His name is Bob Meat. If you're a adult film fan, you probably know who he is. Is that...
Well, I would think that'd be the case. Don't look at me. I don't know.
I would say that's the case, Phil. Yeah, Bob Meat is well known to adult film fans from coast to coast. And Bob Meat has decided, F it, I don't want any part of this business anymore.
Is he straight? Would you say he's...
Yeah, Bob Meat's straight. But he has developed a fear of oral sex. It's something that the adult film business is now just now coming to terms with.
Wow. All right, so we will talk with Chris Norton about that when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Henry Show on El Pacifico, and this is Slipknot. All right, I shouldn't applaud?
Not really, no.
With my face against the floor.
Is this about Bob Meat?
I can't see.
Why?
Well, he's going with my face against the floor. Is he being...
No, he's not being sodomized. It's about...
I know it's about oral sex.
To get back.
Forget it.
Up.
Sorry I brought it up.
But I have to, so it might as well be today. Nothing appeals to me. No one feels like me.
We got Chris Norton on the phone here, and... We're going to be talking with Chris, and we're also going to be hearing, my understanding, Chris, we're going to be hearing a clip of audio from a recent film shoot, audio from the set. Is that fair enough to say?
Oh, yeah. It's audio from the film Bob Meat Cavalcade, and there were five different films done as a tribute to Bob Meat. And this was a cavalcade, you know, so...
So the Bob Meat cavalcade is five separate movies?
Yes, ma'am, that's what it is. And this is from the... And he suddenly knew that he was about to have oral sex performed on him, and he flipped it. You know, he just came... He started a bug. And, you know, I was working on a set at the time as an assistant director. This film was a Michael Dukakis movie. And
what is the guy's name? This is the director?
Yeah, Michael Dukakis. It's a play on famous names, you know, that's what we do.
Michael Dukakis, that's the name of the director?
Yes, sir.
Well, what is that? Is that supposed to be funny?
Yeah, it's funny. It's sassy. You know, it's a play on the sass, and there are people who are sensually stimulated by doo-doo movies or what we call brown town. And I don't know, you know.
You know, I will tell you something, and I far be it for me to tell a man, you know, what to do for a living, but a guy making a movie, a guy doing adult films, that's something. But a guy doing adult films that has people defecating on each other...
Well, and it's called Brown Town.
Yeah, they're called doo-doo movies or brown towns. And, you know, this guy, Bob Meat, was... Bob wasn't, but Michael Dukakis made his name in... the Brown Town movies. And I'm just saying, you know, you asked me, you know...
Well, he's not doing it now, is he?
No, he's not doing it now, but I mean, if you wanted to go back to doing doo-doo, I mean, who's going to tell them not to? Look, adult films are what they are, Mr. Henry. You know, we're not trying to get little kids to see them. We're not trying to have anybody who doesn't want to see them won't see them. But, you know, I'm just saying, and I've been in the adult film business, as you know, Mr. Henry, now the last 3 years. I mean, it took me a long time to break in. And I'm very good-looking, as you know, and I'm very sexy. I have a sexuality and sexual energy that women do feel, and they do feel the sex. But are you trying to tell me that, I'm supposed to just walk right in there and go, hey, how's it going? You know, I think I want to be on in a movie and do sass. No, there's a lot of people. Bob Meat has put in his time.
You might say that Bob Meat has had his meat in it for a long time, huh?
That's not funny. No, that's not funny. It's not funny at all.
Well, that's not funny, man. That's pretty funny.
I think it's pretty funny.
Well, you guys may think it's funny, but it's not funny. Bob Meat, you know something? If Bob Meat showed up at a bar, and you guys were in the same bar, Bob Meat would go home with every chick in the bar and have sex with all of them, and you guys wouldn't even get first base. I feel about that.
Let me tell you something, my friend. I don't give a sweet JC whether Bob Meat's in the bar or not. When this soldier comes home, and I'm on leave, and I've been out there, and I've had my ass in the grass and my face in the dirt for God knows how long, I will get laid.
Yeah!
That's a promise from me to you.
All right, but I mean, you will get laid even if Bob Meat's in the bar.
I don't give a goddamn... Go ahead, Phil.
All right, I was very interested in hearing this.
I don't give a goddamn if Bob Meat's in the bar.
Is he laughing at me, Mr. Henry?
I'm afraid he is, yes.
Better believe I'm laughing at you.
Boy, that hurts so much. That hurts so bad, man. It hurts so deeply. It hurts so bad.
All right, let's get to the Bob Meat thing. On the set last week, Bob Meat, who was thinking about retiring anyway, from what I understand, I had the conversation with Chris. Bob Meat was thinking of retiring. He discussed it with a few of his friends, but hadn't made up his mind. On the set last week, he experienced, and we have the audio of this, he experienced a rare phobia, but nonetheless very real, when one of the actresses was about to perform oral sex.
That's correct, Mr. Turner. It's called just the fear of oral, or the oral fear, or oral fixation fear, or a grip.
Well, that's the isn't that some sort of cement for people who use dentures?
Yeah, or oral grip is a, but we in the colloquial world of the sass business, the adult film, we call it oral grip or oral, you know, the oral freak out or mouth freak, and this is fear of oral sass.
Well, you've got too many names there. What is there? Is there a clinical name?
I was going to ask that. Yeah, is there a psychiatric name?
I'm not familiar. I mean, you probably won't get somebody on.
That's who I think we should also have on the program, a psychiatrist or something.
Yeah, well, we didn't. Did we do that, Bud?
I looked into it, but a lot of psychiatrists are just now coming to terms with the oral, I call it blow fear.
Well, that's fine, man. You can call it anything you want, but what you say about it, Dick, and what the real world's saying about two different things.
Real world not even saying nothing about it, so.
Okay, well.
Let's not argue about who has the rights to naming this disease. So Bob was on the set. He was about to get oral sex, and let's listen to that.
Yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and roll it, Bud.
Whoa. Here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah!
Ah! I'm sorry, Miss Sarah. I was just...
Okay, what happened there?
We lost connection there.
Yeah, I went away from the phone and...
Well, what was that music I heard?
Well, something was coming from the studio and then we lost it.
Yeah, we were about ready to go on set, but if you want to hear it again...
Let me hear that again. All I heard was a guy going, here comes the head, here comes the kid, here comes the kid, and...
No, here comes the head, here comes the head.
Yes, that's what I heard, and he sounded like he was flipping his lid.
Yeah.
All right, well, here, we'll do it again, and we'll just, if we could put Chris on hold. Here is the Bob Meat from the set, I guess, as he was reacting to the actress.
Whoa, here comes the head, here comes the head! Watch it!
And then I guess there was a little bit of music there. That's what's happening. There was music at the tail end of that, Chris.
Yeah, there must have been music, the soundtrack was playing as Bob Meat was... And I got to tell you, I talked to Meat, and I talked to the director, Michael Dukakis. Dukakis and Meat both said it was so rare, they just cut the head scene out, you know, the head. But It's weird. And, you know, Bob, I've known Bob for years.
So he saw the girl about to perform oral sex. That's what I'm hearing there.
Yeah, he said, here comes the head, here comes the head. Oh, let's do it again.
Whoa, here comes the head, here comes the head! Watch it!
Yeah, that was Bob Mead.
All right, well, I want to, I wish I could get a little bit more of this on tape, but unfortunately we are having a problem here. We've got a couple of, are you all right, Bud?
I'm not feeling good.
All right, well, Bud's not feeling well, and we may have to conclude our podcast early here. I want to thank, get Chris back up. Chris, I want to thank you for being with us.
Yeah, well, I'll try and edit that better, but Bob said to me that he doesn't want to be called a laughingstock, you know, Bob Mead, and so it was pretty rough, but here it is.
Whoa, here comes the head, here comes the head! Watch it!
Yeah, that's definitely Bob Mead.
Okay, thanks very much, Chris. Talk to you later.
Yeah, I'll be back on tomorrow.
Good. All right, we'll get Chris back on tomorrow. We're having a little bit of a health issue. Okay, Bud?
That don't feel good.
Why don't you go lay down over there?
All right, we'll find out how he's doing. Maybe he came down with the flu or something. We'll talk to you guys later. We'll have Chris back on tomorrow. We'll do whatever the hell it is we got to do, man, to figure out why Bob Mead has retired so quickly from the business because of his fear of oral sex. I'm Phil Henry.